The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
This is not the millennial with the mic today. This is the Gen Zer with the mic. Caroline Levitt in the house for Grace Curley today. It is hour three of three. And I was just thinking about a very important reminder that I think all of our listeners, especially our male listeners, will greatly appreciate. And that is that today is February 13th, which means tomorrow is February 14th. You know what that means, Jared? That means tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So to all of our male listeners, that's probably the first time you've thought about Valentine's Day tomorrow. You're welcome. You're probably rolling your eyes and you don't care, but I don't care that you don't care. It's not about you. Tomorrow is about the ladies in your life. So this is just a little reminder to go get your flowers or your chocolates or whatever. It's one day of the year that you have to show affection, right, Jared?
Thank you for that reminder. I have to get a card after the show.
You're welcome, Jared. If I'm saving one relationship with this reminder, then I think that's a good day's work, right? I mean, hey, just doing my good public deeds here. Public service at your service. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about New Hampshire politics in this third hour because I'm a New Hampshire gal. I just ran for Congress up there, born and raised, still residing in the great town of Hampton. Everyone knows beloved Hampton Beach. We'll be popping this summer. Can't wait. But there's a lot of politicking up in New Hampshire, of course, as we know, the first in the nation primary state, is our claim to fame. Joe Biden and the Democrats just completely rejected that 100-year-old tradition by saying that South Carolina is going to go first because allegedly or apparently New Hampshire is too racist for the Democrats. There's not enough minorities in New Hampshire, so they don't care about their tradition or the cultural importance of it. They just want to buck it because everything's about race and identity politics for the Democrats. We know this. So they voted it down, but the Republicans are standing firm. All of them, unequivocally. Everyone from President Trump, who was in the state recently. I was there with him. He gave a speech at the NHGOP convention in Salem, New Hampshire at Salem High School. I was there covering it on television for Newsmax, which is another great media company in which I work for. And I was speaking with President Trump backstage, and he was unequivocal in his support of the first in the nation primary. We've also seen other contenders, potential contenders. As you know, Trump is the only one officially in the race for president. But Nikki Haley has spent a lot of time in the Granite State. She was up there a lot throughout my campaign, actually campaigning for my opponent in the primary, who did not win because we beat him. And then she never came to campaign for me. So it's personal between me and Nikki. I don't know. Maybe we'll become friends, but I don't think she has a shot at being president of the United States. She does. She's been spending a lot of time in New Hampshire, and we know she's gearing up for a bid. Today, breaking news, Tim Scott is announcing his candidacy for president soon. He's another one we've seen in New Hampshire. He spoke at a couple of New Hampshire Republican Party events last year. I was there. I think Tim Scott is a great guy. I think he, brings a lot of youth and new ideas, fresh ideas to our party. But I don't think he has a shot at being president either. And then we also have, of course, our governor, Chris Sununu, who is also gearing up for a presidential bid. He has not been shy about it at all. And I'm not shy about how I feel about that either. And I'm going to tell you how I feel about it in a minute. But I want to hear from you, my New Hampshire politicos, or if you're from Mass or wherever you're from. Do you think Chris Sununu has a chance at being president of the United States? What do you think about his run for president? 844-500-4242 or text Curly to 617-213-1066. Okay, so this past weekend, Chris Sununu was at the Republican Governors Association meeting where he took some fiery shots at one of his fellow Republican governors and his anticipated greatest rival, other than Donald Trump, Governor Ron DeSantis from the Free State of Florida. And at the RGA meeting, Governor Sununu said this: "I'm ranked the most fiscally conservative governor in the country. I'm number one in personal freedoms. Sorry, Ron, you're number two." Called him out in front of all of their fellow governors. And that's not a coincidence, right? If Ron was, you know, someone that wasn't in the weeds for president, I don't think he'd be calling him out like that. Would you, Jared?
No, that's, you know, you don't punch up unless you think there's a reason to punch up.
Exactly. And the New Hampshire Journal noted that today. This was the cover of this was the front headline in their newsletter this morning. Sununu takes more shots at, quote, authoritarian DeSantis in latest national TV hit. Governor Chris Sununu was back on national TV on Sunday, touting his awesome model of live free or die and taking more shots at the big government authoritarianism of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. That is Sununu's punch at DeSantis. He thinks that DeSantis is a big government conservative. He uses the state government in Florida for his political gain, political power. Sununu is a more old guard Republican, as you know. Okay. He is someone who believes in smaller government and does not believe, I guess, in holding woke corporations like Disney accountable and whatnot. Let's hear what Governor Sununu actually said this past weekend. If we could cut to Jared so we can get that take.
You said recently Republicans are almost trying to outdo Democrats at their own game of being big government and having a solution and a say on everything. Who are you thinking of when you say that?
There's a lot, like, I think there's a lot of leadership out there that forgets. At heart, I'm a principled free market conservative. Let the markets decide. So there's no individual per se, but there's a lot of leadership that says, you know what, when we're not getting that result out of a private business or a locality, we'll just impose from the top down our conservative will.
You're not talking about the Florida governor and Disney, for example.
That's a bad example. Yeah, that's an example. One of the many examples.
Ron DeSantis may be running for president
sure,
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, look, Ron's a very good governor. He is, but I'm just trying to remind folks what we are at our core. And if we're trying to beat the Democrats at being big government authoritarians, remember what's going to happen. Eventually, they'll have power in a state or in a position, and then they'll start penalizing conservative businesses and conservative nonprofits and conservative ideas. That is the worst precedent in the world. That's exactly what the Founding Fathers tried to avoid.
An interesting take from our Governor Chris Sununu. He is within, like I said, that old mold of Republican conservatism where government just stays out of the way. Okay, but this was back in the day when the government wasn't impeding on the First Amendment, Second Amendment, every constitutional right of the American people. So how much longer do we as conservatives just sit back and let this happen, Jared? Jared's looking at me. He has something to say.
617, Chris Sununu didn't have it in him to take on Maggie Hassan, but he wants the White House? No, thank you.
Well, there you have it. We have some callers on the line. Can we go to them, Jared? People are fired up about this. I knew they would be. Who we got, Jared, on the line?
Let's go to Dana.
Dana.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a New Hampshire Republican. I wouldn't vote for Sununu if he was the general candidate. I have no use for Chris Sununu. He's not. He's a woke rhino. He says he's against big government when it's convenient for him, but he picks and chooses what issues he wants to be against government getting involved in people's lives. He sold out the kids in New Hampshire, the parents in New Hampshire, time and time again. And I have no. My most important issue is education, and he's no different than any of the Democrats on that. So I'm going to be voting for DeSantis. My mind's already made up, and that's where I'm at.
All right, Dana. Well, good to hear from you. Thank you so much for that. And I know that a lot of people in New Hampshire, Jared, feel that way. It's quite interesting. You've seen that in the polling, too, right? Polls, sometimes they lie. But the preliminary polling of this race is really interesting because you have Trump and DeSantis competing for number one in New Hampshire, and then Sununu consistently coming in third or even less than third place. In every single poll, he's been under 10% in his own home state. So it makes for an interesting road for him. Perhaps he's playing the long game. That's my take on this whole thing, by the way. Sununu, his family, no doubt, they're politicians, they're political people, they get the game. Sununu has said publicly in media interviews previously that he wants to go back to D.C. in some capacity. So I think that maybe he's bored of being governor, maybe he wants to have a cabinet position. Let's see what Bob has to say. Bob, you on the line?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well. I was a big fan of yours. I followed you, but I live over here in the western part of the state, so I couldn't vote for you, unfortunately.
Oh, no problem. But, thanks for the support, Bob. Appreciate it.
But I feel like I follow you. But, you got the I don't want to say you got SC, but I'll say you got the shaft by both
thanks.
The Republicans and the Democrats. But Sununu, he's another George Bush Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't vote for him, but. You said McCarthy spent $4 million against you. Did he spend it against you in the full bore election or the primary?
It was the primary election, Bob. You may or may not have seen the slanderous ads that were running against me all summer long, and to the surprise of many voters, including it sounds like you, that was actually from the Republican establishment in D.C. that spent about $4 million attacking me. Obviously, it did not work. We ended up being the nominee anyway. But that money could have been wisely spent against our Democrat Congressman Chris Pappas. So be careful where you put your dollars if you're a Republican voter out there. Thanks for calling in, Bob. We have to get to break, but tune back in because we have a great interview coming up with New Hampshire's greatest political insider. He's loved. He's hated. His name is Corey Lewandowski. He'll be back after the break.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am your fill-in host today, Caroline Levitt. And before the break, we were digging into the New Hampshire political news of the day, and that is our Republican Governor Chris Sununu gearing up for a run for president. The phones are ringing. A lot of people have a lot to say on this, as do I. But before we get to it, I think we have a poll question today, which is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. I don't want to mess up that pronunciation. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what do you think is really going on with shooting down all these objects? They're real alien UFOs, they're real objects, but not alien UFOs, or it's all fake, they haven't shot down anything.
This, as the byline on Fox News reads, U.S. shoots down 4 flying objects in 8 days. What do our listeners think of this, Jared?
65% believe they're real objects, but not alien UFOs. 30% say it's all fake, they haven't shot down anything, and 5% believe they're real alien UFOs.
Okay, so we're about 60% of our listeners believe what the government is telling them. We're 60-40. 40, the UFO, we got the UFO tribe, and then we got the people who don't think anything's happening, and this is all just a big masquerade to try and change the conversation from Biden's abysmal poll numbers, probably. So we're 60-40 split. Is that what I'm hearing?
That sounds about right.
And you're in the slim minority of the UFO believers. Is that correct, Jared?
Yeah, I think this is all fake. I don't think anything happened. Unless there's a Nord Stream pipeline up in the sky that they blew up. I don't think anything got blown up.
That they blew up. But they don't tell us about that, do they? They do not. And we haven't heard from Joe Biden today. This is a story we've been tracking. It was breaking news over the weekend. Regardless of whether or not China was responsible for these flying objects, it's quite clear that tensions between our country, our government, and China are rising, which is not good for the United States of America when our economy is looming because of Joe Biden's economic policies, when our border is wide open because of his lack of border policies, and when He is more focused on firing our military members for not taking an unconstitutional vaccine than he is investing in our military and ensuring we have the best and the brightest war fighters to compete with our adversaries like China. So not a great day for the United States. Hopefully we'll get some answers on this soon. But bringing it back to New Hampshire, we're focusing on Governor Sununu gearing up for his presidential run. I am of the opinion that he is playing the long game. He knows he doesn't have a shot. Although every politician, they do say, Jared, when a governor or any politician wakes up in the morning and looks in the mirror, they see a president. And I can tell you, having worked in D.C. a little bit, both in the White House and on Capitol Hill, that is definitely true. All politicians have egos. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. And they look at themselves and they see a future president of the United States. They want to live in that White House. They want to fly on Air Force One. They believe they have what it takes. I'm not sure if Governor Sununu does, but we do have someone on the line who may have some thoughts on this. Bruce from Lebanon, New Hampshire, a town I know well. How you doing, Bruce?
Hi, very well, thank you. We used to be a good conservative state, but all of a sudden we're sending Democrats. Of course, the reason being we send so many Democrats is because everybody's moved up here from New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and they vote Democrat regardless. They voted against everything that we stand for in this country. They voted to open the borders. They voted to give the illegals benefits. They voted everything against the American people, and yet New Hampshire is so stupid that they keep sending these people back to Washington. And another thing, Sununu doesn't have a prayer. He would be okay if he ran as a Democrat, but as a Republican, he didn't have any stones at all. When it came, he let the teachers' unions destroy our children's education. He let Washington, D.C. Push the shots and all this stuff on the American people when we had people in Iowa, Dakota, Florida, Texas. They stood up against the government and took a stand, and Sununu doesn't have that ability to do that. He does. He'd make a good Democrat, in other words.
Yeah, Bruce, there's a lot of people that agree with you, and I definitely agree with your point on New Hampshire trending, becoming a blue state. It's unfortunate to see, and it's one of the many reasons I believe, unfortunately, I was not successful in my congressional bid. You know, towns in our state that we used to depend on, ruby red towns like Londonderry, New Hampshire, Bedford, New Hampshire, Merrimack, New Hampshire, used to be really, really red. Now they're trending blue. And we've seen a lot of out-of-staters from New York, Massachusetts, blue states coming to live in our great live free or die state. Why are they doing that? Because we have conservative policies and governance. We have no income tax. We have no sales tax. There's a reason everyone down here in Massachusetts comes to the Rockingham Mall in Salem, New Hampshire every Christmas season to shop, because you don't want to be slapped with that extra sales tax. So don't move to our state if you enjoy these benefits and then vote for the same people who want to rid you of those benefits. Don't vote for people who want to increase the size and the scope of the government in your lives, tax you more, make you less rich, and take away your Second Amendment rights. We have a great Second Amendment culture in New Hampshire. It's why we're a very safe state, and I'd hate to see that go to waste. But our Governor Chris Sununu has something to say about that. He thinks he can be the next president of the United States. I'm not so sure, and I'm pretty sure our next guest is not so sure either. Stick with us after the break, Corey Lewandowski.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
This is Caroline Levitt on the Grace Curley Show. It's hour 3 of 3, and we're covering some New Hampshire Politico news with New Hampshire's most infamous Politico. My friend, you know him, you either love him or you hate him. Corey Lewandowski is joining us on the program. Corey, how are you?
I'm great, but nobody hates me. It's just all bad press. That's fake news. Everybody actually loves me is the difference.
I have to say, I teased your interview by saying you either love her. You either love him or you hate him. You know, we're just trying to get the people to remain on the line. And they are here. They're listening. And I know that you were at the Republican Governor Association meeting this past weekend where our Governor Sununu took some shots at DeSantis as he clearly gears up for his presidential bid. Corey, we had some folks call into the line that weren't so happy about that presidential bid. And I know you have some strong feelings on it. What's your take on Sununu running for president?
Well, look, I'm a guy who lives here in the state of New Hampshire who has four kids that go to the public schools. And I remember not that long ago, because I think your listeners are also old enough to remember, when Governor Sununu locked down our state. He locked down our kids from schools. He made our kids wear masks in schools. And what did we find out? Lo and behold, it was all nonsense. Governor Sununu was in the business of picking winners and losers. He said if you worked at Walmart, you could go to work every day, but if you had a small business that survived selling some of the same items that Walmart did, we were going to close you down. He told our teachers that it wasn't safe to go in the classrooms and that our 6-, 7-, and 8-year-olds had to stay home every day and try and learn through osmosis. So it wasn't that long ago where Chris Sununu was using the heavy hand of the government to pick winners and losers. And look, we've seen what happens when that occurs at the federal level. And I know Governor Sununu has won four terms in the state of New Hampshire. I always say he is a better general election candidate than he is a primary candidate. If his support in a primary is an indication of his electoral success in that primary, none of the candidates he supported last cycle actually won their primary race. That being said, you know, the people of New Hampshire have not historically given candidates who run from their home state the favored son status, particularly in presidential races. That's true in Iowa. It's true in New Hampshire. And I was there. You know, Governor Sununu was taking shots at Ron DeSantis. And I get it. Ron is the guy right now who a lot of people are learning more about and looking to move to Florida for the weather and so many other reasons. But the truth is, a lot of these governors around the country decided to close their states, to keep people to shelter in place, to close businesses, and then to accept the elevated unemployment benefits that the federal government offered and to waste the COVID money on things that were non-COVID related. And people have long memories, and I'm sure that will all come back in the near future should somebody decide to run for president.
It's interesting you bring that up, Corey, because on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan this past weekend, Sununu, that was his hit on DeSantis, right? His angle appears to be that Ron is this big government conservative authoritarian. He said, I'm trying to remind folks, you know, what we are as at our core. If we're trying to be the Democrats at being big government authoritarians, remember what's going to happen. Eventually they'll have power and then they'll start penalizing conservative businesses. But you're saying Sununu already did that. He already did that in our state of New Hampshire. Maybe not so much as Massachusetts or New York, of course, but I mean, those people are far left communists. So do you think that his potential challengers such as DeSantis and others that are getting into this race are going to punch back at Sununu? Do you think that would be punching down because the poll numbers are not looking so good for him in New Hampshire?
Well, look, it's a long way to go in a presidential gauntlet, and there's a couple factors that you need. You either need really good name ID or you need money, and right now, Governor Sununu doesn't really have either. He is not a prolific fundraiser. I know he's set up an organization that he can go and raise money, but look, Tim Scott already has $20 million in the bank if he decides to run the African-American U.S. Senator from South Carolina. Nikki Haley looks like she's getting in the race as early as tomorrow, and she raised $22 million last year for her C4. We obviously know Donald Trump's ability to both self-fund a race and raise small dollars. Mike Pence has been out on the campaign trail now, if not officially, unofficially, for months, if not longer. And so you look around and you ask yourself, if you're Chris Sununu, where is my path forward? Ron DeSantis has all but locked up the major donors, the institutional donors, the ones who either are doing business in Florida already or see Ron's policies as an extension of things that are going to benefit their businesses, whether that's Ken Griffin, one of the wealthiest guys in America, or Robert Bigelow, or some of the others who are writing $5 and $10 million checks to Governor DeSantis. That buys you name ID, it buys you staff, and it gives you the ability to be competitive in states like Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, which is what it is going to take to be successful in this presidential primary season.
That's right. This is Caroline Levitt on the Grace Curley Show with Corey Lewandowski. Corey, I'm interested to hear, you know, as well as I do, being in politics, that every politician looks in the mirror and thinks they can be president of the United States. Do you think Chris Sununu does that each morning? Do you think, as wise as he is, as political as his family is, he legitimately believes that he has a shot at being president? Or do you think he's playing the long game here, trying to cozy up to the eventual nominee to get a cabinet position and ditch being the governor of New Hampshire? Do you think he's bored with this position? And what's his long game in doing this and making this big run and giving up a position in which he could probably be elected a few more times?
Look, I don't know, because Governor Sununu and I are from two very different wings of the Republican Party. But my guess is, after four terms as the governor of a state being a moderate Republican, a self-described moderate Republican, he's looking for the payout that Charlie Baker just got. Charlie Baker just became the CEO of the NCAA.
True.
He's looking to go serve on a corporate board somewhere, something similar to what Kelly Ayotte has been able to do after her tenure in the U.S. Senate, where you sit on the News Corp board or you sit on Caterpillar or some other corporate board. And look, it's a model that his family has done a very good job utilizing. When his brother lost his U.S. Senate seat, he went and served on a number of publicly traded boards and made a lot of money and is probably much happier not being in elective office. So I think Chris Sununu's long-term plan is to raise his profile so that when he does not run for re-election next year, he will have an opportunity to go and find some of the corporate boards to say, listen, I wasn't a conservative, I wasn't a liberal, I greeted every president regardless of party affiliation when they came off the plane, I worked in a bipartisan fashion, I'm very proud of that, so put me on your board so I can make money for a long time, because Governor Sununu is still a pretty young guy.
That's right. A lot of New Hampshire residents listening, myself included, probably you too, Corey, are thinking, okay, well, if Sununu goes for president and then gets on a corporate board, that means we have to elect a new governor. And in our increasingly trending blue state, unfortunately, there is a chance that a Chris Pappas or another Democrat could win a statewide office or a gubernatorial race for governor. Who do you think jumps in for Republican or on the Republican side for governor? And do you think Chris Pappas is the eventual Democrat nominee, assuming Chris Sununu flees the ship?
I think for Pappas, it's a no-brainer, to be honest with you. For those who don't know, he's the congressman who serves in the 1st Congressional District. He has money that he could transfer to a super PAC. He represents 50% of the state by population already. And being in the minority in Congress cannot be a lot of fun for him. So my guess is he looks at that and says, hey, why not take a shot? On the Republican side, I think Edelblue gets in this race. I think he would be silly not to. When he ran against then executive counselor Sununu some 8 years ago in that primary, he had a very, very competitive race and probably could have won. And he has done a very good job fighting on behalf of parents and students for the rights that they have and should have inside the classroom. So I see that. I see, you know, Chuck Morse, the former Senate president who ran for the U.S. Senate and lost in the primary, probably getting in. I think Kelly Ayotte, the former U.S. senator, probably looks at this race. So I think on the Republican side, we have the potential once again to have a very competitive primary, which unfortunately, because of the system we have in New Hampshire, gives us a very short window from primary day to general election day. I hope the legislature changes that. I hope the legislature goes and changes the congressional district lines so they are more fair with what they should have been. I know the governor has not has vetoed those positions in the past, but changing the primary date and moving it forward helps candidates long-term be successful in the general election.
Yes, amen to that. I know it well, Corey. As you know, I had a do a quick 360 from my primary to the general election against Chris Pappas, and unfortunately, we did not get the job done. But Corey Lewandowski, really appreciate your taking the time today to talk to me, one of New Hampshire's most infamous politicos. Thanks again. We hope to have you on again soon, Corey. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that was Corey Lewandowski, and this is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show. Stick around with us through the break. I think we're going to have someone you know well. His name is Howie Carr, joining us at the latter half of this show. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. We have a few minutes left if you want to call in and speak your mind. Use your First Amendment right. Let's get to it. Thanks.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. J. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Caroline Levitt filling in on the Grace Curley Show today. We've had a jam-packed 3 hours, a lot going on in the United States of America and around the world, and we've gotten to a lot of it. The unidentified objects that our United States military shot down. There was just a press conference at the White House where, once again, we did not receive much information from that press conference, as they usually go in this White House.
Hey, we found out that China used a spy balloon. What more do you want, Caroline?
Oh my gosh! Thank you so much for that breaking news that we already knew, that China is engaging in espionage here in the United States. We know they're doing that on our college campuses. We know they're doing that through the wonderful app called TikTok that is owned and controlled by the Chinese Communist Party.
John Kirby did assure us, though, he's not aware of any aircraft surveillance that we have being sent over China from the United States.
So he did not confirm that the U.S. is engaging in air balloon surveillance in China. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay, interesting. Well, China's accusing us of that. Of course they are. We're not going to take the CCP at their word either, though. So, a lot going on today. And we have the one and only, the great Howie Carr for the Car Crossover, which is brought to you by Toyota of Portsmouth, a dealership that I know well up in New Hampshire, your all-wheel drive headquarters. When roads get messy, a Toyota all-wheel drive car, SUV, or truck will ease some stress in your commute. RAV4, Tacoma, Tundra, Camry, Highlander, 4Runner, get yours online now at toyotaofportsmouth.com. Howie, how are you today?
Very good, Caroline. Thanks for filling in for Grace.
Thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it. And I'm sure you're going to be covering the alleged UFOs or Chinese spy balloon. What's your take on this weekend's news, Howie?
Well, I mean, I wish they could make up their minds what it is. You know, the general there yesterday said he wasn't ruling out anything. And today they are ruling out that it's ET or UFOs or Independence Day or War of the Worlds, one of those great science fiction movies that we've all seen, you know? So which is it? I mean, the other thing is, too, I didn't understand the general yesterday talking about them being UFOs, because the Navy pilots that have dealt with these they don't call them UFOs anymore, whatever they call them now, UAPs, I guess. They say that they can't, they can't understand how they don't abide by the same law of physics that we do. You know, they can go up and down, and they can just accelerate to speeds no one on Earth has ever seen, and yet they're just these things they're calling UFOs are just floating overhead like a full moon. You know, it's none of it makes any sense.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there was video and picture evidence of the first balloon, right? There was civilians taking photos of it. It looked like a big moon, and it was just slowly drifting across, you know, the Midwest and the heartland of our country. But these other three, I have not seen a lot of video or picture evidence of these other three objects. So it's interesting to me that doesn't exist, right? Why weren't people videoing these like they were the first one? I don't know.
And they were saying they couldn't shoot the first one down because it was over land and the debris could have hurt somebody. But they didn't seem to have that problem with the one in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? And then they shot one down over Lake Huron. And I mean, I know it's winter, but there had to be some boats out there, right?
Right.
So, I mean, again, none of the stories have any consistency whatsoever.
Well, John Kirby is definitely doing some mental gymnastics, trying to dance around the truth and cover up whatever it is they're trying to hide from us. And I think that's probably why they have not allowed Joe Biden to speak publicly, because gosh forbid they let that man go off script and he might get us into a world war.
Well, the best sound cut, though, is from KJP when she says Canada.
Canada.
We shut it down over Canada. I mean, this woman has an Ivy League degree.
Yeah, it's sad.
I like to always point that out when we play one of these cuts where she's talking about Nobel Prizes or now Canada. She went to the same school as Barack Obama.
She has an Ivy League degree that probably cost her $500,000, and I would put up any tradesman in this whole country, any truck driver, any electrician, any plumber, to be more suited, better fit for that job than KGP. That's for sure. What else do you got for us in your show coming up, Howie?
We have the FBI whistleblower in the Boston office, the intelligence analyst who testified last week before the House Judiciary Committee. He's going to be joining us at 4 o'clock to discuss. It's a pretty amazing story. The way the FBI office in Boston, you know, not exactly has covered itself in glory over the last six decades. Mm-hmm. But they stood up in this time and they said, no, we're not doing this. There are no predicate acts for investigating someone who has a Bank of America credit card or who took a bus from Natick to Washington, D.C.
Right.
I mean, and I salute them for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to see good people in positions of power stand up. It's something we don't see enough. That is for sure. Anything else, Howie? I covered the urinal protest. I'm not sure if you caught that. The students up in New Hampshire protesting the urinals, more on this LGBTQ cult that's taking over our country and our state of New Hampshire.
I love some of the quotes. I love some of the quotes from some of the people who've been involved in this. And one said, you know, look, someone's going to be discomforted here. You have to, is it going to be a handful of men or is it going to be the entire female sex? You know?
Right.
And I thought that summed it up very well.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, when do the rights of the majority or the great mass of people outweigh the rights of a handful of people? And then these people, some of them are claiming, well, I don't want to have to fight my way through. How is it fight? You're going to have to fight your way through school? Why are urinals being banned? I mean, this is craziness. Who would have ever thought this even 5 years ago?
I know. It's madness. And I have a quote for you that relates to this topic, and it leads me into next week's show when I guest host again, Howie. I'm going to have a guest on. Her name is Riley Gaines, and she is the University of Kentucky NCAA swimmer who came in second place because Leah Thomas, the biological male that was allowed to compete against her, her teammate was on her team. Leah Thomas is a 6'4" male, and Riley Gaines said this week in an interview. We're going to have her on the Grace Curley Show next week to discuss, but she said this about Leah Thomas changing in the women's locker room at the University of Kentucky. We did not give our consent. They did not ask for our consent, but in that locker room, we turned around and there's a 6'4" man dropping his pants and watching us undress. I'll be interviewing her next week on the Grace Curley Show.
She's hoping that Charlie Baker is going to come to her defense. Don't count on it, Riley.
Riley shouldn't hold her breath. Thanks, Howie.